And we're going to take some time and we're going to look at some of the characters, if you will, of the Old Testament and take a look at how they believed God and how their faith brought them into relationship with the true God. Now, you and I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and you can look at these stories in the Old Testament, and you have to understand that these people that we're going to look at did not have the same covenant we have. Matter of fact, we'll see some scriptures tonight that will show you that the covenant we have is a better covenant, all right, because it's based upon better promises, the Bible says. But there's still a whole lot to learn, because really, when God was initiating this thing called faith with mankind, there was a lot of things, a lot of interaction that happened in the Old Testament that really teaches us a lot about having a relationship with God. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so faith is about reward. It's about relationship. It's really about expecting God to take care of us, to move on our behalf for good. How many believe that? I mean, and really, we've took a whole series over the past couple of months, and we've been looking at some things on Wednesday nights where the Lord is showing us his love and how good he is. And now we want to kind of transition and really start to build our faith, because faith works through love. And that's what the Bible teaches us. And so now that and if you weren't here for that series that we just finished up, you can get online and you can listen to that. I can't even remember the name of it now. Who can help me out? What did we just finish up on? Faith. No, that's Chosen. That's it. Facebook Sunday. Yep. That's the other one. Facebook's good too. Really talking about prayer. But now we're just going to really talk about what the essence of faith is. And so we can move from Chosen into Heroes. All right. Tonight I want to look at Abraham, and we're going to look at quite a number of Old Testament stories and characters. And I've got a couple of the teachers in our congregation that are going to be sharing throughout the course of this series. And boy, it's just going to be wonderful. So I'm excited about it. And we're going to kick it off tonight looking at the life of Abraham. And really, the Bible says that God spoke to Abraham as a man speaks with a friend. He's called the friend of God. And so it's really a good place to start. Hebrews 11:1, it says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word, say word, the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. And again, everything that you and I see, everything that we can see, everything we taste, everything that we can sense with our senses was created by what we cannot see. And it was created when God spoke. Now, we've said this before, but realize that we are the only created beings who can speak. How many know that? You know, I always tease our kids, especially when they're growing up. I told them that our dog would speak to me. You know, I said, well, what does he say? Selena just always say, what does he say? I said, well, he told me his favorite color is yellow. And she believed me for a while. So she got old enough to realize that I was just pulling her leg. But see, animals do not talk, all right? God is not a Dr. Doolittle God, all right? We're created in his image, and we're created in his image, and one of the primary things is that we can speak the word of God, all right? And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, all the things that you desire, if you say them, you'll have them. And again, we've looked at some of that, those principles, in our faith book series on Sundays. But tonight we want to just look at the essence of faith and realize that there are things that can hinder faith. They really are. Now, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We know that. We just took a whole series that I mentioned called Chosen. But listen, things can affect our faith, all right? It can affect the results that our faith have. And so really, we have a part to play, and I think it's extremely important, and we're going to look at some of those things tonight. Hebrews 12:1, it says this. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So some of the things I want to talk about is faith should strip off every weight that keeps us back. If you and I really are living by faith, then we don't allow sinful habits in our lives. We just don't. Why? Because we have the power to overcome. That's why. I have the power to not sin. People say, oh, pastor, I did not say that I never sin. Can we, this is ringing a little bit, John. Can we arrive there? We all will. But make it a goal. Listen, now, everybody who runs in a marathon, unless they're just foolish, everyone who runs in a marathon expects to win, right? Shouldn't we be the same way? Expect to win? Right? And one of the things that you and I can do by faith is to allow God to strip off every weight and sin. And I want to just mention this here, and we'll probably reflect on this a little bit throughout tonight, maybe in the future in this series as well. But I want us to understand something, and I believe this is true, looking at some different teachings and reading at the Bible, and I believe that God will convict us of something in our lives one time. Holy Spirit will convict us, and then you and I have a choice to turn or continue down that road. Let me just, and you know, somebody say, well, you always talk about money, Pastor. Well, that's not all I talk about, but money is a great example, all right? It just is. You say, okay, the Bible says I should tithe, and then I start to. Or I just say, well, it says it, but oh well. Now, you may sit and you say, well, I'm just not convicted to tithe. Well, that's because you were already told that, and you know that. God is not going to convict you about something he's already taught you. And what starts to happen is, here's the danger, we start to harden our hearts toward truth, all right? Toward that truth in particular. It could be something else. We could pray for someone, they get sick and they die, and you see people for the rest of their life, they believe, well, God heals, but not all the time. And they'll say, well, God doesn't heal, and that was a doctrine for the saints who were alive right after Jesus was here. And we come up with these doctrines and stuff rather than just believing God and continuing to live by faith. So I've seen so many people live that, well, I just don't feel convicted, Pastor. Well, the thing is, if the Word says it, it's true. If you've lost a conviction of a truth and don't agree with it, listen carefully. You're wrong. Just because the conviction is left doesn't mean that you're right. All right? So faith strips off every weight, say every, and the sin that so easily besets us. By faith, I live by faith based on God's word, you know? You know, Trish and I, and every year, my first couple of messages of the year, every year I probably say something about this, but we believe God, we say, okay, we gave this much last year, how much do we want to give this year? And just money. Yep, Pastor Tony's talking about money tonight a little bit. Oh, well. And we say, well, so we're going to give more. And then we had some other opportunities. Okay. All right. Some things in the church that maybe our budget doesn't allow for. And so Trish and I agreed we're going to give more, and we are now going to cover those needs in the church out of our own pocket because the budget doesn't allow for that. You say, well, Pastor, how can you do that? We can't. We can't, but we can. That might confuse some people, but it's just how my mind works. Because it's by faith. And we're going to find out tonight that one of the things that Abraham learned through his covenant with God was it wasn't based on Abraham. All right? Just because I can't do it doesn't mean that he won't. Matter of fact, because I can't, he will. All right? God will not do something you can do, but he will do something you can't do. And that's what faith is. But you and I have a responsibility to live a certain way and to obey the truth that he reveals to us. Faith is focusing on Jesus, running with endurance. I believe really focusing not on just Jesus, but focusing on the lives of other people who have lived before us, the life of faith, and looking at their lives and seeing how they related to God and how that panned out in their life, and then applying those principles to our life. That's what faith is. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:1 to seek those things that are in heaven where Christ is seated. We need to look to Jesus and to the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us, that has gone on before us. And that's why we're looking at these heroes that we see mentioned in the Bible. Romans 4, let's talk a little more about Abraham. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? This is important. For if Abraham was justified by works, he is something to boast about, but not before God. Let's stop there a moment. He says, what has Abraham found out about the flesh that the flesh can't do it? Remember I just said, Trish and I can't do this, but we can? I don't want to be disruptive, but I think that's working now. I don't know what Bob or somebody did, but can you dial that thing down? It's really hot up here. Our furnace was not kicking out right before service, and somebody did something, and I'm about to break a bead up here. All right. But it says, what has he found out about flesh? That flesh cannot be made right with God and cannot inherit the blessings of God based on its merits. Faith is all based on God. This is extremely important. It's all based on God. All right? So because it's based on God and he tells us to strip off every weight and sin, then we believe God to set us free. I talk to people all the time, and this is a real common one. And so I've used it before, but I use it again. I just can't quit smoking. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. You don't want to quit. Well, but Pastor, I'm addicted. I know I used to smoke. This is even worse for the next smoker. You can quit. All right? So you can't get off the hook with me. All right? You can quit. So, well, I can't change this behavior. Yes, you can. You can. By the power of God. Philippians 4:13 in the New Living Testament. We don't have it for you, but it says that God is working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do the things that please him. So you can say, Lord, I thank you that you're working in me, giving me the desire, first of all. My body's a holy temple, so I'm not going to smoke. I'm saying this because probably a lot of you this year said, I'm going to quit smoking this year. That's my New Year's resolution. All right? Because God is working in me, giving me the desire to live for him and the power to do so, because I can't do it on my own. This is just one thing. I can quit smoking. Because God is living in me and gives me the desires of my heart, then I can believe him for the power to have more blessing in 2013 than I had in 2012. Even when I give more and sacrifice more. Matter of fact, especially when I give more and sacrifice more. It's the truth. It's the truth. It is the truth. I just love the people in this church. We have such givers in this church. It's just amazing, you know. Just give and give and give. And just yesterday, I just talked with a couple. I said, you know what? We have a need that we can't meet right now. I said, would you pray about it? And I'm telling you, it wasn't 5 minutes later. See, listen, when you're a giver and you live this way, it doesn't take you long to realize. I said, we got a need. Somebody needs something in the church. And we don't have it in our benevolence fund right now. Believe it or not, the seventh, you know, we're the ninth today, and we've already just about exhausted our benevolence fund for the month. All right? And we just believe in God for more, but we didn't have it, and, you know, we don't stick to our budget, and we've learned that God honors that and brings more. When you stick to what you have, God will bring you more. I'm kind of off my notes a little bit, but that's just a little nugget there. It's true. Manage what you have, and God will bring you more. If you don't manage what you have, you'll probably end up with more debt and you'll have less. You know, just talking to someone. Let me finish my first story. I said, well, we have a need. I said, would you think about meeting this need? No obligation, but God put you on my heart. I mean, it wasn't five. He said, well, let me talk to my wife. It wasn't 5 minutes later. I had to check. All right? Because that's what people who live this way realize. You know, I was talking to someone speaking on the subject of debt. And this isn't on debt, but may as well just get this. So, well, should I borrow this money to get this today? And I'd say, well, do you have the money? No. Well, then why would you borrow it? When you borrow and live on debt, and if you've done this, look, there's no condemnation, but you got to realize this. If I don't have it today, I'm borrowing and say, well, I'll have it tomorrow. If you don't have it today, why will you have it tomorrow? Now let's go back to faith. Okay. But Abraham found out about the flesh can't, how many know flesh cannot do it, but God can. It says here, the scriptures say, verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him to righteousness. Righteousness based on God's goodness. I've been made right with God because God loves me and gave me the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. God is good, faithful, and in control. Faith knows that God is good, faithful, and in control. When you know God's in control, you can live in a way that doesn't make sense to a lot of people. I mean, if you don't think God is in control, a friend of ours just lent me a little DVD that I watched about the Star of Bethlehem. And really, looking at astrology, how many know the Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God? Astrology is not something to fear. That's something, matter of fact, if you look in the book of Job, which many believe the oldest book of the Bible, it talks about how God created the constellations. Right? There's nothing to be afraid of. The problem is most people that study constellations try to pretend that they can prove that God doesn't exist. But you know that if you really study them properly, they prove that God does exist. And this guy went through in a way that I couldn't do tonight, but he went through and showed of what the Star of Bethlehem was and how it was certain planets aligning and how this only happens at certain times where you can tell when Jesus was born. And not only that, but there was just this whole, if you would, poetry in motion kind of a thing with the solar system that went on not only when Jesus was born, but some 33 years later when he was crucified. And the Bible says the moon was red because it was a solar eclipse. And God had that plan before the foundation. Now, if God planned that, you think he's nervous because you don't have money in your pocket? Go ice fishing. Well, not today. It's getting a little warm for that. But you know, that and faith is just realizing God's good, that he's faithful, and that he's in control. All right? We must believe that God wants a personal relationship with us or with me. We have to believe that. How many know your flesh can get weak sometimes? Your flesh can struggle. My flesh struggles. I mean, I thank God for a godly wife who prays. So I just tell her, oh, honey, help me. It's just rough. I can't take it today. And she'll say, oh, shut up and get out of bed. You know, I mean, really. No. But you know, your flesh can be weary and weak, but do you realize just this morning I got up and I was just weary over some things. Just some things, just weary. I mean, just don't you just hate the flesh? I can't. We are starting this fast on, actually, we're already starting it this week a little bit, but Sunday, I cannot, this fast. Get the information on the fast, by the way. I'll just plug this in here. It starts on Sunday. We have information. If you go to the website, right on the main page, you'll see the Fast 2013. If you click on that slide, it will take you to some links that will give you information on what a personal fast is. There's a couple of articles you can read online. It'll take you to the 10 things that we have that we're going to be praying over, those 10 things cards. I don't know if you brought those in there for me tonight, but I don't need them tonight. But the 10 things, many of you know what those are, 10 things that we want to see that the people of Resurrection Life Church understand that are in the Bible. There's scriptures with that. But we're believing God for that, and then take a Bible reading program, and then we'll be praying together. But there's some links there. There's a link to the Daniel fast that will help you with that and some fasting tips. And so, you know, Trish and I are just saying we know we're going to get something out of this fast. Why? Because our flesh gets weary sometimes. And you know that God can help you when you fast to him. And I don't want to get into a fasting message, but just, we got to put it here because fasting and faith go together. Because you got to put the faith down and realize, or put the flesh down and realize, just as Abraham found out about the flesh cannot be right with God. So you need to tell it to shut up. Because faith and flesh rub each other. Faith and flesh rub each other. They create friction. All right? Matter of fact, the thing is, the more you and I grow in faith, the more that people who don't live by faith will rub us the wrong way. And we'll rub them the wrong way. It just is. And it doesn't mean we don't love people. That's not what I'm saying. But you can't stand to be around people that don't talk in faith because it starts to drag you down. Let's read a little more about Abraham, Genesis 12. It says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family. That's good advice. He says, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. This is what every parent prays when their children turn about 22, 23. It's like, get out of your father's house, right? All right. It says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, except our kids. We love our kids. They can move back home anytime they want. But at least get out once. Okay. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So what he's telling Abraham is the first thing you need to do is get out of your country. Let's just say this. You and I, to live by faith, you have got to allow God to break you free of your old mindsets, your old nature. Crucify the flesh. Fast. Allow God to set you free of some burden that you have just accepted all your life. Some iniquity, some sin, some habit, whatever that may be. And we just call it, it's just sin. Listen, we all have sin. Sin is not something to be ashamed of. Sin is something to be dealt with. I think there's no shame in the kingdom of heaven, but shame on us when we allow sin year after year after year after year. Now, we'll get to heaven. But we will not operate in faith. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that we'll even see a miracle here and there, because God's good. God just works all over because he's in control. But if you really want to start to see God move and start to see some miraculous things, living this way is the way to do it. Stop trusting things that you've grown accustomed to. Get past your identity. I mean, our identity can mess us up. It really can. One way or the other. I mean, the devil wants to get you on one side of the road or the other, all right? Either in, and they're both pride, by the way. Pride is thinking you're better than you are. Pride is also thinking you're worse than you are. And so I just say, you know, I'm not as bad as I think I am, and I'm not as good as I think I am. But through God, I can be a whole lot better. And we just live that way. See? His desire, God's desire, is for us to trust his protection and provision. Faith is trusting God's protection and provision, believing that he's good, faithful, and in control. Protection, provision. Good, faithful, and in control. That's what faith is. Believing that even though my mind says, I'm just not going to make it, I'm going to go crazy. No! By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. He has given me the mind of Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loves me, who gave his life for me. And you live by faith, realizing my flesh may be telling me I'm crazy, but I'm not, because I have been renewed. And because I don't allow myself to be conformed to the world, but I allow myself to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And you live that way year after year after year. And here's the thing. Listen carefully. We have to understand this. When you act on what God has shown you, he'll show you more. That's another little part of faith. When you act on what God shows you, he'll show you more. If God shows you something about faith and you don't trust him and act on it, you're really done right there. It stops right there. I'm not talking about God's love, because love of God never ends. Faith works through love, but faith needs to work, and faith has works, according to James, and we're not going to turn there tonight, but faith should produce works. How many know that? Good works. What's good works? God works. All right? You need to use what you know. I just say this, use it or lose it. If God shows you something, even if you don't, you know, every time I walk in faith, I am not 100% convinced in my flesh that it's going to happen. Now, some people may disagree with what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you, I've seen it. All right? I see Brad up here, my friend Brad. He's prayed for people, see miracles and stuff. Every time you pray, you're like, I know you told me stories before. I'm going to pray, okay, God, whatever, you know. There's other times you can feel the energy, but there's other times it's like, okay. And God moves, and you're like, whoa. It's because faith is obedience, not what you feel. Faith is obedience, because you can feel different from day to day. All right? Sometimes, you know, because people say, well, I didn't sense God, or I didn't feel God, or you know what, I just didn't feel led. This guy named Buddy Bell, he used to say this all the time. He said, well, go get a bullet and keep it in your pocket, and you got some lead. So he'll say, well, I just don't feel led, Pastor. Well, you can grab that bullet and you can feel some lead. But people say that all the time. Well, I just don't feel. Listen, if you're waiting to sense God to move and to live by faith, you might as well forget it. Because remember, what have we found? What are we going to learn from Abraham that he found out according to the flesh, where we started, Romans 4? Is that the flesh cannot inherit righteousness. In fact, the Bible says that our body needs this corruption, is what it says in Corinthians, must put on incorruption. Come on. Isn't that what it says? So this body is just the enemy. This body is just a suit. That's what Pastor Duane says, earth suit. It's kind of like, I'm just going to confess my sins here in front of the church. We're eating an apple or a banana, and we're driving. We throw our apple cores out because we figure it's just going to decompose anyway. That's not trash. We have fun with it. You know, ping. Well, today we're driving to the church, and I had to eat a banana. I needed to get some potassium or something, and I ate a banana. I know, Mike, you love bananas, so I got one in my office for you right after church. Okay. Banana pudding. No, but and I hate this banana. Banana pudding is bad. I will agree with you on that. It's bad. Whoever came up with that? All right. But I ate the banana, and then Trish takes it, and she wants to keep it neat and air, and says, throw it out the window. I'm like, throw it out the window. So he grabs one banana peel. He throws it out the window. We're going about 55 miles an hour. You know what happens to a banana peel at 55 miles an hour? It's kind of like this earth suit. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's boom, it was changed, man. It just went, it just disintegrated. How many know that's what God is going to do with your flesh? But until then, you get to fast. All right? It's the truth. It's the truth. Let's read more about Abraham, Genesis 12. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Remember he said, get out of your family. Get away from your family, out of your father's house. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Let me just say this. It says, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. Disobedience, or partial obedience, is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Again, I go to money, because it's just, to me, it's just, it applies to everything. Jesus said that if you're faithful with this, you'll be faithful with other things, talking about money. If you know God says to tithe, and you say, well, but I'm just going to give part of it. Well, it's good that you gave part of it, and it's going to benefit somebody, but you are not going to reap the benefit. It's the same as saying, well, I pray for people, they don't always get healed. That means God heals sometimes, and other times he doesn't. You can't even think that way. Even though that may happen, that is not the truth. The truth is God heals all the time, all the time, 100% of the time. When I pray for people, they get healed. When I pray for myself, I get healed. I do not get sick. And when I lay hands on people, they recover. They say, well, what if they died? They really recovered. But you got to look at it that way, because this flesh is not the truth. You realize that, right? Okay. It's the truth. Partial obedience is disobedience. Disobedience hinders the blessings of God. Again, it's like I said, if I know something, God will not show that to me again. That's really integrity of heart. Matter of fact, Jack Hayford has a teaching on that. Some of you studied a little bit of that in the Bible school that we're doing, but integrity, God will show you something once, and then you make a choice, all right, to either live that way or not. Let's read on verse 7. He says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord. Let me just say, it is hard to be a person of faith when you do not live a life of worship, when you are not in the habit of building an altar before the Lord. You may say, well, I don't sing very well. I'm not talking about singing. Singing can be part of it. I mean building an altar, you know. Trish and I usually, we get up about the same time in the morning, and we'll read a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit. I'll tell her some things I want some prayer for, and then she goes on a walk, and she prays for me. And for an hour, I'm just all alone. You got to build an altar, you know, an altar. And we worship together, and we worship in church, but you need an altar alone with God. Remember, it's the secret place. So to have a strong, if you cannot be, listen, you cannot be a strong person of faith and never build an altar to God. And if you never build an altar to God, you may know some of the word, but it will not benefit you. Because an altar is where the transformation takes place. An altar is where you die to your flesh and start to take on the nature of God. And it's worship. That's what worship really is. It's dying to my nature. It's really Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. That's really what worship is right there. That is, if you could take one scripture, that is a perfect scripture explaining what worship is. All right. Because really, the name Bethel, or Bethel, however you want to say it, means house or dwelling of God. Am I allowing God to dwell through me? And it starts with building an altar and then allowing him to start to recreate, if you will, his presence in your life. All right? And start to reproduce his presence in your life. Now, Abraham moved out with Lot. We read that. And he moved out with, he took Sarai. He took Lot, who was his brother's son. All right? And there becomes some contention between them, and the land that they're living in is not rich enough to support them, and so they decide that they're going to have to separate. And I want to just say this. I think there are times in our life, we're probably not going to look a whole lot at Lot, but there are times in our life where we do have to part ways with certain people. All right? We do. All right? And usually that's really parting ways with people that really are not looking at things through the eyes of faith. Okay? And here's the thing. Do you have a relationship in your life that is keeping you from God's best? And let me just say this. Sometimes we think if someone rubs us a little bit weird, I'm not talking about if you both love Jesus, live in a life of faith, everything we're teaching, but sometimes people just, you need that person in your life. You do. You do. I am so glad in this church. It's true. Is that Gloria over there? Amen. Did you say amen? Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. You know? I thank God in this church we don't have a bunch of people trying to be like me. And I don't know that I could take that several different ways, I guess. But I like that. All right? Because we're individuals. We are. We are a church of individuals. We are not afraid to speak our mind. We are not afraid to have a little bit of confrontation in love and talk things through. And then settle it and go on loving each other and moving on in this life of faith. But there are times where people will hinder you in your spiritual walk, and that's what I'm talking about. There are times when you just need to say, you know what, this relationship is not helping me. I'm not talking about people that you see in the workplace or out in the marketplace. You gotta be a light. You gotta let your light shine. Okay, so you can't cut yourself off from the world. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about relationships. If you have a group of friends, listen carefully, and every time you get together, it's all about the flesh. Do you need that group of friends? It makes me feel good. Okay. Well, it makes me feel good to go eat a whole sausage, mushroom, and onion pizza. But how many know if I did that, it'd be like, I wouldn't sleep, first of all. But boy, I'd sure enjoy every bite. And maybe mushroom, sausage, onion, pizza ain't your thing. But you apply your thing. Just because it makes you feel good does not mean anything. Does it help you spiritually? But it makes me feel... Feeling good is not spiritual, by the way. I don't see that. Jay, have you ever seen that listed in spiritual gifts, feeling good? Okay, it's because it's not in there. It's not there. Self-control. Self-control. Well, that's just the opposite, really. Self-control, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because that's... Well, I just... But they're friends of mine. Yeah, but what... What is it? Is it causing your faith? I mean faith. Not that you feel good because you have friends. Because that's not faith either. And it's good to have friends. I'm all for friends. But are those relationships helping you in your walk with Christ? When you leave that place, do you just feel good or do you feel like you grew in faith? All right. Now, Trish and I have acquaintances and relationships with people that are not living the life of faith, but we don't spend a lot of time with them. The people we surround ourselves with is you all. And then other people who don't come to this church that live in other places, and we see them several times a year. And it's funny, when you get together with someone who's living this way, you may not see them for a year, 2 years. I'm thinking of even Jay and Nan. We hadn't seen them for, I don't know, close to 10 years, I think, something like that. 8 years, 10 years, something like that. And you know, when you hook up and when you've been pursuing this, it's like, man, I just saw you last week, didn't I? Don't you feel that way? But there are times when we need to separate ourselves from people. Doesn't mean you stop seeing them all together, but how often are you seeing them? All right, this is for somebody tonight. I don't know who, maybe it's for several people. But as we start this new year, boy, I tell you, either we want to keep living life the way it is, where it's kind of just, you know, if your life is just, I'm just kind of almost getting there, just almost getting there, just almost getting there. Well, then there's some things that God wants to show you, and this fast coming up will be a good place to start. All right? Let's read this, Genesis 13:5. It says, Lot also went with Abram, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for the possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. This was a beautiful, if it's like the Garden of Eden. Now, Trisha and I, we live on Eden Street in Kingsley, in Paradise County, Township. But I think this land was probably more beautiful than that. So it was just like the Garden of Eden. It was gorgeous. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan that Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. There comes a time when we need to separate from those who cannot go where we're going. People who live according to their natural faith is not seeing, well, that's good, I think I'll go there. Faith is like Abraham. Abraham said, you go ahead and choose. And whatever you choose, I'll take the other one. Why? Because Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He said, you choose whatever you want, because it doesn't matter what the land looks like now. As soon as I get there with God, it's going to look better than the land you just chose. Come on, that's faith. That's faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that what it says? All right? That's what faith is. Let me just say this to you. This is good right here. Would I give to someone else something I had that I needed, knowing that God would take care of me? Would I take something I had that I need and give it to somebody else? I'm not going to say it was going to be easy right away. You might have to fast and pray, get your flesh out of the way to hear God. Because if you don't, you're just going to, I think I'll do this. Well, I think these people make me feel good, so I'll hang out with them a couple times a week. Yeah, but everything we're talking about, okay? But when it comes down to it, would I take something out of my pocket and give it to someone who had need, knowing God would bring me not only what I had in my pocket, but more? That's faith. That's faith. And that doesn't mean even though you put your money clip back in there that automatically you have more money immediately. This is faith. Because here's what ends up happening is, see, Lot says, I like that land, I'm going. And as you take a look at Lot's life, it gets worse and worse and worse. Matter of fact, the first time, we'll read this here in a moment, and then we'll probably have to stop. Abram goes to deliver him. And because of Abram's prayers, Abraham at that time, God delivers Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah when it's burning. And maybe we'll look at that in a couple weeks. I don't know. But tonight I want to look real quickly at the first time, because what I really want to look at is how Abraham responded to God. Because then we'll have to end with that tonight, because it really shows us that a life of faith worships, that a life of faith has a time of surrender, that a life of faith has an altar. All right? But Lot saw what was good, and he went there, and the Bible says he pitched his tent closer and closer and closer until he was right in the heart of Sodom and Gomorrah. A little while later, you know, right before God destroys it, you find out he is living right in, he is in the city gates, living just like everybody else in there, all right? I mean, even so much, he was so messed up. Listen, this is messed up. He was so messed up when they left Sodom and Gomorrah the second time. We're going to read the first here. The second time. Him and his daughters, they go and they go live in a cave. And because they are riddled with so much fear, because they have not been living a life of faith, but living a life of sensual pleasure and natural carnality, they say, well, what are we going to do? They sleep with their father so that they can become pregnant because they're afraid they're never going to have children. How many know that's messed up? And you say, well, that yuck, yuck, yuck. But listen, when you live contrary to what we're talking about, the life of faith, which is really, really shown in the life of Lot. And even though it tormented his righteous spirit, he still lived there. You know, there's so many times we can be around things and we know it's not right, but we just get callous to it. All right, let's go back to faith. I don't want to get too much into that. I want to read about this. Let's read this quickly. Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him. This is after Lot. Listen, when you cut off those friends, God will show up. Whoever that was for tonight. You say goodbye to those friends on a regular basis, God will show up. And there's things you're believing for, you're going to get. Right? It says, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which we see, I will give to you and your descendants forever, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that a man could number the dust of the earth, and your descendants also could be numbered. How many know that's blessed? Now, of course, he's talking about the covenant that will come through Jesus. I realize that. It's a prophetic word as well. But you got to realize something. God also blessed Abraham very well in the time that Abraham lived. So this was a prophecy of Jesus and you and me and the kingdom of heaven. But it's also speaking into Abram's life of the blessing that he would inherit in his lifetime. So it's twofold here. All right. Arise, walk through the land and the length and the width that I will give it to you. You know, every piece of ground you walk on, God gives to you. Start walking. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt at the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. So he builds an altar. Listen, let me just say this. God is able to do things beyond what you can possibly imagine. The plan of God is full of surprise and exploration. Would you trust him? That's what faith is. His dreams cannot be numbered, the dreams that he has for you. You need to get a vision for your life and live by faith. And that's what we see in Abraham. Oh, gosh. How do you think they're doing in children's church? Does anybody know? They're doing great? Okay. Then I'm gonna go as quick as I can, but I don't want to stop right here. I feel like I'm kind of like mid-thought. That won't work. So, as I mentioned, God blesses him. He speaks into his life, prophesying about the Messiah, but also talking about the blessings that he would give Abraham in his lifetime. Lift up your eyes, bring him into a fruitful land, if you will. And as I mentioned, Lot goes and lives in Sodom. There comes a time where he needs to be delivered, and so Abraham comes to rescue him. This is not the time that God rescues Lot out before he destroys Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the first time. And Abraham comes and he rescues Lot. All right? Takes some of his men and they go to battle and they beat up on those guys. And then they take the riches or the spoils, if you will. And it says, after these things, this is Genesis 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Listen, when you live a life of faith, the word of the Lord will come to you in the middle of the night. The word of the Lord will come to you in the midst of your trial. The word of the Lord will come to you in the midst of your pity party. It says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. In the Amplified Bible, it says, I am your abundant compensation. After what things? Really, after Abraham rescues Lot. He receives blessings. And as soon as Abraham, you got to get this. As soon as Abraham receives blessing, and this is how faith lives, he receives blessings from God that he's believed God for, receives those blessings now that he is gone, and he has gone to battle. This is, you just say, yeah, I went to work and I earned some money. Let's just say that. All right? That's more applicable for all of us. I went to work and I earned some money. And now he comes and he gives a tithe to God of all. He gives a tithe of all. Is God my shield and reward? Don't answer quick here. Don't even answer. Just think. Is God my shield and reward? Well, what do you do when you get money? And I tell you, you see this throughout the Bible. If God is my abundant compensation, then when I get money, automatically God gets an amount that I've already predetermined that is at least 10% of my income. At least. And ever increasing, because if God's increasing you, then you continue to increase your giving, right? If he's my abundant compensation, then I will build an altar, I will worship God, and when I worship God and bring an offering to him, then I know God is faithful to bring me more. You know? So many of you gave in that offering, you know, when we took that offering for World Mission. And I've seen so many things happen in people's lives. But I see Corey and Selena, our daughter and son-in-law up here. They believe God. They sold the biggest financial gift they've ever given. Believe in God. And they're closing on a house this week. Because they sold that seed and they believe God. Yeah. Yeah. Nice little house. It's going to look a lot nicer when they get in. Start to paint it, start to decorate it. But see, they learned a lesson that if you put God first, when God gives you money, I'll tell you what, you better honor God first. Because the life of faith, and that we're going to have to stop there tonight, but the life of faith understands that God has given me all things. And if you don't get that, you cannot live the life of faith. That is the entry level right there to faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you that it is bringing forth fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you and make sure that before you leave tonight that you are on your way to heaven. If you say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean, this prayer could be for you. If you don't know for sure that you would go to be in heaven if you were to pass from this life to the next, then this prayer is for you tonight, and I want to give you some information. So I'm going to count to three, and I want you to lift your hand. Say, Pastor, I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. One, two, three. Lift your hand up quick. Everybody's saved. Lord, I just pray that you would stir us up on the inside to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of for us, that you would give us faith to live an abundant life and be a blessing to everyone we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a guest here tonight for the first time, we have something we call a welcome brochure. It tells you about our ministry. We've got